5:30, I'm ready to roll, are we ready? All right, let's go. We'll start the workshop, it's 5:30. Principal's report.
Good afternoon, it's been quite a day today. We started school, and it's an amazing feeling after 5 months of not being in school, so, you know, considering all the news, things went really well today. We made a lot of things happen that frankly, some folks feared wouldn't happen, or wouldn't happen as well as they did today, so I'm glad to report that we got everybody here, and we sent everybody home, and most of that went smoothly today. I got into a lot of classrooms, and got to hear many, many students stand up and tell me, "I'm glad to be back today." And that makes me feel really good, because, you know, I do too, I'm glad to be back today too. One thing that you may hear about, if you recall, a couple of years ago, we changed the dismissal process, and I think you probably got phone calls for the next few weeks about that, but it eventually subsided as things got back to normal. You may get phone calls again, because we changed the process this time to keep from having so many people gathering in the auditorium at the end of the day. We're dismissing students from classrooms in the upper grades, which means that we've opened the front driveway off College Street for the first time in a long time, and we're calling students directly from their classrooms. So that took a little longer than we wanted it to. I think the last group finished in the gym parking lot a little bit before 4:00, and we're done out here around 3:30. So like last time, we anticipate that's gonna get quicker. Ways to speed that up, and some tweaks that we can make to make that process go a little quicker. And I've got an automated call set to go out to parents today, thanking them for their patience for virtual and in-person and all of that, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. I asked Ms. Burchett to include a letter in your board packet on Friday about our rotation system. I wanted to make sure I was kind of explaining the method behind how we're gonna do our specials rotation. I know that was a discussion point in one of the most recent meetings, I just wanted to make sure I was sort of clear in giving you the thought process on how that worked. If anybody, if you guys have questions about that, or need to ask something specific, I'm happy to answer that. Otherwise, that's all I have.
I want to say thank you for our discussion, because it opened it up to me. It cleared up a very muddy situation for me, the letter, I don't know about y'all. I was under the understanding that the teachers were all doing the moving, and the kids, and it, so it cleared it up to me for it to, for his letter, so, thank you. All right, Assistant Principal's report, Mr. Paro.
Few things here for you, first positive news here. Yesterday, I was able to sign us up for 600 more free masks from Scholastic. They sent us an email over, and I found that yesterday, when we came through. Through Bell and Candace, I think it's Bell and Candace, it's whoever's made the other ones for the state, but they're sending us, we're getting blue this time, we got white, tiny whites for the first time for the kids. They look good.
Wow.
That's a bunch of kids with drawings. Yep.
Tiny whites.
That's what the older kids call them. But they're blue, they're nice, so they'll be coming in the coming weeks. Teacher supply kits coming from the state, that was something we were happy to hear about. They'll be getting, if they have them, they'll be getting each month a box of gloves, thing of hand sanitizer, some wipes, and some more masks. That's all based on availability, the state said, but that's their plan, is every teacher will receive that kit. It'll come in, it won't come with a kit, it'll come with a box, and they'll have to go through it. Speaking of distributing, I have successfully distributed all of our school supplies as of Friday afternoon. Our last remaining outstanding school supply was delivered to Walmart finally, and we went up and picked it up, and got all the twistables out to our little kids, so we are set to go. Everybody's got what they need, hopefully, that is off the radar now. We keep receiving new guidance from the state health department on quarantines. I think you all have seen some of that. They're making tweaks to where we're having just, you know, day by day. I'm not saying we have that, I'm just saying there were new guidance, I think, Friday about that. They're pushing some stuff back, and they're doing some different things, so Kathy and Michelle are aware of that. And then we'll address that when it's needed. I saw on your agenda here, talking about masks, something that came up last time, I don't think you guys ever really came to a consensus on was, if a student refuses to wear a mask, what do we want to do? I I know some, like Knox County, I know theirs, this was on the news, it was two verbals in school and then sent home. Is that something you want me to just work on, or is that something you guys want to make part of the policy? Like the dress code policy, it's in the policy. You guys have that as a policy, so you want to. We didn't have that problem today. Not a single kid, every kid came to school in mask. And from what I was told, nobody told me that a kid refused to wear it. So I'm not saying it's an issue, but it was brought to my attention by someone last week that we don't know what to do if a kid refuses.
How do you handle insubordination?
Depends on the level, I mean, how rude they get. It's usually, they comply and give them lunch detention for a day. This being a different case because it's a public health issue, you know, I don't know, I mean, if they put it on, it's one thing.
Well, the same thing's going to happen with an adult. I mean, it's going to. You're going to have an adult come in here and refuse. We just are. So what are we going to do? I mean, it's crazy not to think that it's not going to happen. You're going to have an adult that's going to walk in here and say, they weren't. You can't make me. You can't. You can't.
As far as insubordination, depends on the age, too.
Understand.
We have the rubric, we go by for the difference, you know, usually 1 to 3 days of lunch detention. That's assuming they get complied. They don't comply, become irate, then escalate things, and it's case by case.
I think today a lot of them had unique face masks as far as monogrammed or their favorite.
Right, I mean, I've had a lot of people. And the little ones, you know, went and got, I know one lady went and bought down 5 dinosaur ones for her boy.
Yeah.
He loves dinosaurs, all right? Make it fun.
I think as long as the adults adhere to the rule, the kids think it's normal. You know, that's what I think.
They're afraid to take them off at lunch. I can tell them, guys, you can't take your masks off.
You can't do that.
And there was someone sitting there trying, like, you could tell they were looking at their food. And they were like,
Now what do I do?
This is your 30 minutes to breathe. You know, without a mask on. So I'll do whatever y'all want to do. And like I said, the only thing I can do, we could do insubordination, but being it is a public health emergency crisis, however you want to phrase it, then we need to go up the ladder quickly.
I would think in the beginning we should show as much caution as we can to work with them, especially the young kids and the parents. You know,
it's
a new rules, everything. We shouldn't get so rigid in the beginning, but be ready to be there.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
It is your safety we're talking about.
You know, we were thinking, like you said, the dress code is too verbal.
No, that's not scandalous.
I thought you said our dress code.
No, our dress code.
I'd have to pull it up.
2 hours, 4 hours after school or detention, we're hardly pulling up. And I think ISS.
Maybe a home call first. You know,
right, well, I mean,
the child's not compliant.
Yeah, and all those, you know, to just dress code is a phone call as well. Every discipline has a phone call.
Find out why they don't want to put it on first.
Well, that would be, I would think maybe, you know, counsel them and then a phone call. Counsel a couple of times and then a phone call. I mean, like we said, we're the ones that mandated it. The entire county did not mandate it. So it's just something that's a Newport Grammar School rule. But I like what Cindy said, you know, talk to them first. So counseling, and then a phone call to a parent. Because like David said, it does sort of fall under insubordination. And I can guarantee you, I did not want a phone call home to a parent. I still don't want a phone call to a parent. And we're old school. But I guess we follow the lines of the insubordination, not the, I mean, course, I'm the one that has problem with putting them in after school detention because the parents keep making them late because they don't drive. I have an issue with that.
We changed that.
I know, but I had an issue with that years ago. I'm glad it's changed. So what y'all want? He needs some guidance, so it's up to us. What do you want?
I said that you need to find out the reason, because there may be a reason they don't want to put it on.
I agree.
Work that out.
I mean, if the kid's being defiant and insubordinate and outright rude, and I'm not going to send it back to class, so if you're like, if you tell them put your mask on and they just keep refusing, they're not going back to class, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to say, well, here's your one day lunch attention, go back to class. 30 minutes later, they come right down, but they still have the mask on. So I want to get to a resolution quick. And I'm fine with that. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
If it goes to the parents coming here and refuse like you ask, that's why we hire an SRO.
What if the parent tells me my kid's not wearing a mask in school? I'm just trying to prepare.
And that's gonna, sadly enough, that's vital to the parent. And then we're gonna be in the battle of, we're in the business of educating kids, and we're supposed to give a free and fair education to kids.
Safe
environment, I understand that.
Every place has rules.
Every place has rules, you're right. Everybody's got rules.
If you don't follow the rules.
Like I said, we haven't had any problems, but I'm just.
I understand.
We all know the world we live in. That's all I can.
All right.
Yeah.
Federal programs, Amy.
She's not here tonight.
Okay. Systems and assessments, Justin.
Okay. A few things. One, the curriculum consortium that we've talked about several times since last spring, that we joined, it's going to be that database for online lessons and things that our teachers will have access to, officially went live last week, and our teachers received the link to that. We have some of our teachers that have already gotten lessons approved, although their name can't be stuck on the lesson. A couple of them I recognize based upon the things they told me, so some of our teachers are some of those first lessons that have already made it up there. Let's see. As far as, I'm going to skip down a section because the one section is a lot that I want to get into some detail on. Textbooks, as of Friday, pretty much most everything has arrived. We had a few things that were on back order, but luckily, with kindergarten having a staggered start, that was the only grade level affected by a back order, so that stuff's supposed to be coming in. We have, all of our teachers have had access to their online textbooks for a while now, so even while we were having to wait on a few things to get here, they had that. When we had inserts, a fourth grade teacher came up to me, Lisa Ivey, and said that fourth graders thinking about transporting their Chromebooks around, the newer Chromebooks we have are not like the persons. The persons we had a built-in handle and all that. Well, the new ones are a little more sleek and they're a little harder to keep grip on. They're rugged, but they're still, the grip's there. So they mentioned they had thought about trying to get some money together and getting little small tote bags, like those little Walmart type bags that, you know, the reusable grocery bag type things for the kids to carry from class to class, their Chromebook, or when they carry it to the computer lab or things like that. And she started talking about it, well, and I believe it was the two of us, wasn't it, Michael, that she came up to and was talking about in the gym, Lisa? And we said, well, you know, you get those at conferences and stuff. I bet there's a lot of conferences that got canceled in the spring that maybe they can't reuse that bag now because it says spring 2020 or something. So I reached out to a few companies thinking, okay, fourth grade needs them, third grade's going to need them too. And so I set a goal of trying to get us 100 of them so we can cover third and fourth grades in-person learners. Well, by the time I reached out to everybody, I expected someone to tell me no. Nobody told me no. So we literally got those bags for everybody from first all the way through eighth grade. So the teachers now have them. And we have another bunch that are coming in too, so we kind of extra. But we got really lucky with that, that everybody wanted to offer something for our students and our teachers. Let's see, as far as things in technology, so our virtual learning, we had a virtual learner pickup on Wednesday of last week, and we saw 160 students come to pick things up. We have a total of 168 virtual learners, so about 25% of our enrollment is on virtual learning. When we did our device distribution, our special class teachers, instead of having their work day on Wednesday, like the core academic teachers did, they did their work day on Tuesday, while our core academic teachers were doing registration day for in-person learners. So we just flip-flopped. And the special class teachers helped out in the playroom as parents came around the kindergarten circle. And I'm just going to tell you, even though it was before lunch, that was the hottest I think I have ever been. It was not a day to wear a long sleeve dress shirt. But I'll make sure I don't leave any of the group out here. So our interventionists, our two new interventionists that were hired, our special areas teachers and our special ed teachers were all down there working together. And we had them down there in shifts, but there were some of them that worked both shifts and just stayed and kept going. And had it not been for them, I don't think we could have done having 160 parents or 160 students pick up, go through, but they picked up all their textbooks and their Chromebooks and signed off on paperwork. We did all that in 2.5 hours. So they did an incredible job considering the amount of stuff that we did that day. And then as far as our digital tools go, some of the stuff we got going for us this year. So I just want to say that knowing that what this year's looking like and all the stuff our teachers have taken on to make sure that they're ready not only for their virtual learners, but their in-person learners, our teachers have gone from just kind of knowing Google's out there to some of our teachers have really turned it out and turned it into something that I think at a moment's notice that they can turn around tomorrow and have class with all their YouTube. They've done a great job with that. And they've got their classroom set up so their in-person learners can do things on there and access things on there too. We've also introduced, to make things a little easier on both the teachers and the students, we have introduced a single sign-on platform called Clever, where once it's essentially a one-stop place to where the teachers and the students can log in there, and a lot of the programs we use and more are being added. A lot of the programs we use are right there on that home screen, and all they have to do is click on the app. You sign into the app with your username the first time. Next time you go back to Clever, you're automatically signed in. So they're just going to have to remember their one Google password. And we have now, would you say, at least like 15 different things on there when you go to it. And it's growing. We've got more of our programs that are moving over to it. And then we have some online registration open up to the parents to save them a little bit of time so that they didn't have to fill out some of the registration packet at the beginning of the year. And we had right around, which this percentage is a little lower now because our number's up a little more for enrollment, but we had over 100 parents take advantage of doing their paperwork online before registration day. And let's see, and that's all I got.
Director's report.
Okay. I just want to first say that I want to commend the administrators because they all have worked so hard to make this become a reality, because this has really been a project ongoing for quite some time. But I think we all would have to admit we're so proud of our staff, because this is 1 year the flexibility, the staff, anything we've asked them, they've just jumped into it. And no complaining, at least our face. But anyway, they've been really good about just being versatile. You know, when we ask, they know it's going to be a year that's going to be difficult with a lot of new things. And I think the 2 days that the board gave them helped to kind of give them some time to step back and evaluate their classroom, their curriculum. And the virtual has been a new learning process for everybody. But I think it's really been I think they have seen they have more capabilities than they ever thought that they had. It's helped them to get out of their comfort zone and really apply. But I just want to commend the staff and the administrators. And I think we're moving forward. We've tried to put in place everything that, like the CDC, the Health Department has advised. And I think one of the things you were wanting to talk about is coming up with a rubric or a metric to help guide us. And my suggestion, as I put in your letter, was to maybe come up with a club. We could call ourselves a club. Come up with a committee made up of like a board member, administration, you know, myself, a teacher, and Kathy and Michelle, to kind of assess every week where we are, the cases or quarantines, and different phases that we need to go in. But I think that's about it, unless y'all have some questions. We're taking one day at a time. We truly can say that.
How many did we get certified and then we're done? How many actually?
I don't know what the final number is yet. Mark's keeping all those.
You know, those.
I don't know the final number. I know that we had reached, we were at least at 75% that have gotten a code to go on and take their test that had finished the process. And I know we had several that were still waiting because it's Google's turnaround time on some of those, you know, giving you results has slowed down the closer we got to school.
And we've not put the pressure on them to pass.
None of them took the test, much less the, you know, only a few of them that had passed it. I was just wondering what we had. Just some things that I've put on. I see it on the Cock County COVID Task Force as well. And we meet each week. And that was one of the items that I had put down for the metric for determining the zones or the phases. We have, Manny and Casey both are there. Manny every week, sometimes Casey's with him. Both mayors. The emergency medical director. We have law enforcement representation. We have health representation. The health department is representative. Economic side is representative. It's the, Rob Mathis is on it for, also just to show how the taxes and all. It's a whole entire group of us that, for the county, city and county. And what the schools had requested, and that came from all three of us, was some type of rubric, some type of something to go by each week in regards to the zone or the phase of the number of cases, how many are. And the state has actually helped with that in regards to a data spreadsheet that they're using now. Excuse me. That covers ages 5 to 18. So it covers the school-aged child and the cases on the Tennessee website. And that's updated and posted. So that can help with some of that. But again, I don't know. They've not come up with a rubric because I don't think they know how.
Well,
I don't think they know what to do either when it comes to.
I think, as I may have suggested, a percentage. Or I think you have to look at, you know, if it's widespread, if it's isolated,
right.
If there's a lot of factors. But, you know, maybe you all would like to choose one board member to be on it, and we could then start a meeting, even if it's by Zoom, you know, to kind of go over what we have there going on.
And the one thing that Manny said was, you know, it doesn't need to be a Friday afternoon decision. It needs to be discussed on Wednesday, a plan put together Wednesday night into Thursday, and then you're letting the kids, the parents, and the whole world know by Friday, so, or Thursday night into Friday, so arrangements can be made. We don't want another Sunday afternoon, March 13th or March 15th. You know, and we don't want a 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, no. Just on behalf of some of the things different teachers have said to me, and you all tell me if I'm wrong in saying this, just like what you were saying with that, having that so that things could be put in place if there were an event here, we would say we're going to go home and be online or something like that. That way, the grade level could send home things like send home Chromebooks and.
Well, that's what we're, that's the whole part of the decision.
I think, isn't that?
The whole process is to have it done.
Make it on Thursday for the next week.
And that was Manny's request, you know, to the health department and to the powers to be, to the mayors. Because in all actuality, the mayors can be the ones that say, we're shutting down the schools, you know, we're going to close them down. And then the governor could do it. But then we could, but he also agreed that you do it within the communities. Why shut down the whole system if, just for instance, it's Gracie Fort, or it's Centerview, or it's Del Rio, or it's Northwest? If you've just got a high population in one school, don't shut down, don't send everybody home, you know. So, you know, of course, we're just being a one-school system, it would just be us on a percentage. So I think a percentage is probably the best route for us to go on.
And when you read across some of the stuff the health department puts out and things, it's like you look if it's isolated in one classroom, or if it's across several classrooms, you know, kind of guide you on what you should do. Close it maybe for 24 hours, or close it for 14 days. It just depends on how it spreads. So, but if you all want to choose somebody, or if you want to wait, it's fine too.
The other topic I had asked her to put on here was masks and the public concern. I mean, I know you all got the emails that we were getting forwarded. Does anybody have anything else to say about it? I think the main concern when I was seeing with parents is just the input of the littles, especially, well, any of them, is to somehow, some way, give them a break during the day. If it's taking them outside to walk around the track for 5 minutes, if it's, but to give them a break. I think that was the general, well, there was a lot that were just, they were against them wearing them, but that's a moot point, so. Okay. Anything else?
If they're in the classroom and they are socially distanced while they're in their room, and if they've got even those shields up, I don't know how many of our rooms, do we need our rooms having shields at the desk?
Like wood.
Plexiglass, and they're getting.
Or we have put up some.
How are the classrooms? Are the classrooms pretty well socially distanced?
Yes, Dustin went around and helped the teachers, or just, you know, kind of gave advice and guidance on the distance to separate the desk and things. And I know in art, and I don't know if any other classrooms or not, because I've not gotten around today, they have built the sections out of, what type of, is it just type of plastic or something?
Plastic, soft plastic.
And PVC pipe on the desk to separate the kids and, you know, like that.
I was in all but about 3 grade levels today, and what I saw were desks that were spaced appropriately, even when the classrooms were full with students, there was still, it was at 6 foot distance in those rooms.
All classrooms?
And not all but about 3 or 4 grade levels. Get to all of them.
But still yet they can't. But still yet they can't take their mask off.
Yeah. The state said 3 feet, we're trying to do 4. We got to spread out.
Never better than 3 feet in every room.
Right.
What do we do about kids that cannot put the mask on or take them off?
They're not supposed to be required to wear them, I don't think. I think that's one of the guidelines.
That's what I thought.
They're supposed to be able to take it off and put it back on. And special needs children, if it kind of causes them to, you know, get stressed, they have said you need to make allowances for the special needs children also.
It'll be okay.
Well, we'd have to make an allowance for that. Did we say that in our?
You said CDC guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
State CDC. CDC guidelines.
Okay. CDC guidelines.
Also talks about how your if the child continuously choose, a younger child, talking about first, second grade, continuously chewing and playing with the mask, then you've got to kind of adjust there too. And we said, we made masks required based on CDC guidelines. Is that not right, Nick?
Yeah, I believe so.
So we just didn't come in here and say everybody had a mask on. We said, follow the best guidelines that we could, you know, that we're getting right now from the Center for Disease. What is it? What does CDC stand for?
Center for Disease Control.
Got it.
There is a letter that is from the state if you have tested positive that they are issuing. And it is for your employer.
Did you see it in your packet?
So anyone that has tested positive can request that. And the state will send it out. It's on a state letterhead, you know, so we would not have to reinvent the wheel. It wouldn't need to be on the Fort Driver School letterhead. That was just something that was brought up by the health department, and that's why I wanted to make sure about that because of what Matthew brought up. And then Sandy gave us the numbers. We've got 168 virtual. That did change. I laughed and said the first thing we got was the total added to 666, and I was like, we got to add a kid.
Now, what's the total?
Have to add a kid. But then I saw on the little thing, it did not include pre-K, so we're all right.
Yeah. And right now, we have a few of those kids that systemized in kindergarten from pre-K, but once the county starts, some of those will be counted. And so I'm saying we're between 660 and 670, depending on how many of those don't come in next year to kindergarten. So,
and that is not counting pre-K?
That's not counting pre-K. And that puts us already at least, 25 to 30
more
over where we were last year. So we've grown.
Fall District 15th at Jeff County, everything's still a go on their end right now. And our meeting will be on the 21st for September. Anything else?
About our three that's up for tenure.
When I read it, I know.
Okay.
Current numbers of remote, virtual, and in-house students. I know how the third grade and up are doing their virtual. They are having, one teacher do it while the other three are getting the rest. How are the K-1 and 2 doing?
Okay, I'm going to let you want to explain that since he's overseeing virtual.
Okay, so with, start with first and second. So with first and second grade, we looked at, we met the grade level teachers and went through and talked about, this is how many you have, here are the options. And we gave, the option of, do you want to do your own virtual, which would be, do you want to do that here in your planning and on your own time, how do you want to do it? Or we have another option that might be something that would take kind of some of that burden off and give you time like we did for the upper grades. And that was to take and have, I'm going to use second grade for example, two of the homerooms are entirely in person only. They have no virtual assigned to those homerooms, and those two teachers do only in person. The other two homeroom teachers in second grade have the virtual kids split half and half between them on the homeroom roster, and they have the other third of the kids split half and half between them on their roster. So they have two half-size homerooms, and what we do is, like for instance, Sarah Morrow and Amanda Holt, what they do is they combine their two homerooms as a cohort. And Sarah has them a portion of the day and teaches in-person reading, and Amanda is teaching virtual math during that time. And then they flip, and Amanda gets that group for in-person math while Sarah does the virtual reading. So we did that, we did the same thing in first grade as well, where two teachers basically share a homeroom, a virtual and a homeroom of in-person. And so that took care of that and kept from everybody having to do, you know, because if you got only one in this homeroom and this one has six, and it was easy to do that. For kindergarten, the law is a little different on how many we can have in a room, and it would put all of them over. So Julie Wilson and Susan Clavenger are doing the virtual kindergartners. One is Julie is doing all the reading and language arts for virtual kindergarten. And Susan is doing all the math for virtual kindergarten. And then the four kindergarten homeroom teachers have in-person students home.
So when you were talking about the first and second grade, so when you have the two half classes put together, so basically the three classes that have in-school students are all the same size, just about?
Yeah. They balance out pretty close. I think the, I believe it's first grade where it's a couple of kids smaller in the event that if any of the first 9 weeks of this virtual return, that way they stick with the same teachers. And they don't have to be assigned out to a different homeroom. So that one, because they had so many at home on virtual, they have just, I think they maybe have two less or three less when they combine theirs compared to what the others.
Basically took the whole first and second grade and split it into three rooms.
Into three rooms, yeah.
And that doesn't go over the limit?
Not in first and second grade, but it would have been kindergarten. It would have been this way. But their number is, the cap for kindergarten is so very low that, you know, that was the thing you're having to deal with there.
When we talk about full classes, how many do we have in each room?
In which?
In first and second.
In first and second. First, right off, let's see.
17, 18?
17, 18, I think. And second has, is it 22? 23, one of them?
20 to 23.
And it has to do with the first grade still a bigger group overall.
We have more.
But there's a fifth teacher.
Yeah.
And second, and there's 27 or 28 that are virtual. So really those two that are doing virtual are really taking on more kids. In the end, but
we don't have a problem with the spacing in those two.
Those rooms seem to be a lot bigger, and I think once the teachers got in there, they were able to space them out. I think you worked, Dustin, you worked with helping with space.
The primary rooms are bigger in square footage.
Yeah. And you're dealing with those big triangular shaped rooms too.
They get great at doing a bunch of adjusting to their centers and all their kitchen tables and all that, and basically just taken out or pushed up against walls, or some of them got created and like wedged in between, but you know, I think a lot of them are using like an orchestra setup, like kind of rounded. I mean, it's still, everybody's spaced the same way, it's still good, but instead of just straight lines, it's a way of shape, it's kind of arched around in three arches. And like up here, you know, we get those huge desks. I mean, if you put those desks side by side, and their kids are ripping apart because their desks are so big. They were 3 feet head to head. So really, we were the reason to keep them like they were. But we like some people turn them sideways and like put a buffer and just space them out and move them around. So everywhere I've been, unless they've changed in the last 48 hours.
The reason I was asking is I had heard that even those second grades, that they were really crammed in there when they put the two classes together.
Oh, when they put the two classes together, no, their rooms, like I said, the first grade's actually a few kids less in person because of that. And second grade is the same size.
It's socially distant. It's not like
it can be 3 feet.
They're not on top of each other because they're socially distant. Yes, we'd love to have 4, 5, 6, or 6, 5, 4, but I mean, we're working what we got. We're doing this with the space and the number of people with smaller bodies, and the group of teachers can move in a big class.
As we say, this is a flowing type program that we're adjusting at all times, you know. And so we'll see how this goes, and it's not saying we're doing it perfect, but we're trying to get off to a start, and we'll probably have to adjust and modify. Especially after the 9 weeks, we'll see.
We've worked so hard with these guys, especially on mountain, high side, as extended levels. Trying to make things the best we could with what we had. If we start bringing the kids in and out every other day, it really messes up our balances.
I'm just glad parents are sending their kids to school.
Anything else? All right, let's go into our meeting. It's called to order. Stand for pledge. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At the board 100%, the only one absent is Amy Burchett, federal program supervisor. Consent agenda, approve the July 27th, 2020 minutes. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Got a motion on the floor, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Business agenda, approve the following. Second reading of policy 6.304, student discrimination, harassment, bullying, cyberbullying, and intimidation. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Second reading of policy 6.305, student concerns. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Second reading of policy 6.3041, Title IX and sexual harassment. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion.
Do I have a motion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Do you get it? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Second reading of policy 6.709, student fees and fines. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I'll give it to my, that time it's time. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Emma Allen's resignation. Do I have a motion to accept?
I make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Federal Budget CARES Act grant. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
And tenure for the following: Wendy Ball, Whitney Butler, and Carla Sexton.
I make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Anything else to come from the board?
I just want to commend Wendy and Whitney and Carla because they've done a good job and they're very deserving, and I'm glad you granted them tenure.
Hey Jan, we need to vote on that Federal Budget CARES Grant Act. We didn't vote on that. Got a motion and a second.
Mickey says we didn't vote. I'm sorry if I missed that. Federal Budget CARES Act grant. Linda made the motion. Mickey made the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Anything else to be brought before the board? All minds clear?
Make a motion to vote.
Second. County doesn't do that. You know that? Dr. Johnson?